Everyone, welcome to Triple Play Fantasy, the fantasy football show. We will be right back to help get you ready for week 7. Everyone, I am your host, Zach at FF Super Batman. I am joined today by the great Alex at AlexMateo94, the wonderful Doc at Triple Play Fantasy, and we have a special guest. She's returning if you watched here in August for one of our mock draft review shows, but we have Stacey Perez, part of Fantasy and Frames. Also wanted to shout out that she is a lawyer, if you guys need a good lawyer, and also now an NFL agent. Very exciting, and congratulations, Stacey.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much for having me. Very excited to be here again and see all of you guys and hang out for a little bit.
Now, welcome back. It's been fun. So we've got to have a few guests on the last couple of weeks. I brought on our buddy Gator J from Fantasy and Frames. Had to bring him over. And then last week we had Roxanne from Club Fantasy. And then I brought you back on. So I like to poach from the other teams that I work for and do some cross promotion, have some fun, and spread the good word of fantasy football. So how is everyone doing tonight? Alex, you said you're still recovering from your voice. Big Phillies fan. How's it going?
Hey, it's going real good. Had to turn the game off that way. I'm locked in on you guys tonight. Had to turn that game off.
Wow, but you must really care about us.
We appreciate it. It's only like 25, 30 minutes. Nothing's going to happen in baseball. We're good.
Back, let's extend it as long as possible.
Yeah. We'll just keep going. Stacey's like, I got all night. We're good. How are you doing tonight, Doc?
Doing pretty good. A lot of bye weeks this week, so struggling with some teams. But
we're going to talk about that. Bye weeks, injuries. We're in the thick of it right now. So we'll get right into it then. What is your one takeaway from week 6, Stacey?
Oh, my gosh. All right. So you guys can see behind me, I've got a Packer flag back there. So I'm a huge Packers fan. So this kind of kills me a little bit to say, but I think the Lions are winning the North, right? I mean, like, they're just absolutely dominating. I mean, I don't know. Did you guys watch that Vikings-Bears game? Because that was horrible to watch. And then my poor Packers are 2-3 somehow. They probably should be 1-4, you know, with that barely squeaking out a win against New Orleans. I just think, you know, I mean, I don't think the Lions fans have to wear bags over their heads anymore, right? Dan Campbell's come in and like completely changed that culture. You know, I just love what they've done there. They won the last, like, what is it, four in a row? Now they've won 5 games altogether. So, and then, you know, I can't talk enough about Sam Laporta and the pick that they took there at tight end and how he's absolutely crushing. So that was kind of my takeaway from week 6 is that the Packers reign is probably going to be over for a little while.
The Lions are 3-0 on the road. I asked this after week 1. Was their win in Kansas City the biggest win of their franchise history?
Oh, I think it's
it's not a crazy question to ask.
No, it honestly isn't. With the lack of overall playoff success, this kind of like jump-started them for this whole season with a young core, Jared Goff being the veteran leader.
Thursday night
against the defending champs. Exactly.
They were like,
we're one of the big boys now.
At that point to win the division. Yeah, it's kind of like a statement win. And how they won, too.
Was it? It was a 21-20 final. I think they really really showed that, hey, it doesn't matter who it is, we're going to be competitive and win a lot of ball games this year.
As a 49ers fan, that's the team besides the Eagles that worries me most in the NFC.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Those three teams, Eagles, Niners, and Lions, are definitely the cream of the crop of the NFC this year.
It might be whoever gets the number one seed, because the second and third would likely have to play each other and then be on the road. So it's interesting. Yeah. All 5-1.
We shall see. And, Doc, what is your biggest takeaway?
All right, so the real-life takeaway is that it's football and anything can happen any given Sunday. The 49ers losing to the Browns with starting P.J. Walker, the Jets beating the Eagles, and the Giants being one play away. Imagine if you did a 3-leg parlay money line with those winners. You'd be rich, and we wouldn't be doing this show now. But my fantasy takeaway is that I feel like from a dynasty perspective, you should just trade anyone while their value is high because they'll inevitably get hurt because this game is so brutally violent.
It's so pessimistic, Doc.
I'm just thinking, I'm like, you know what? Or what if somebody traded Christian McCaffrey a couple weeks ago when we're talking to him being the number one pick? And then he gets hurt. You would have gotten a haul for him. It's like you should trade quantity for quality, but good quantity, if that makes sense.
Yes and no. I get where you're coming from. But at the same time, unfortunately, the way the game works, anyone is one bad twist, one big hit away from a season ending or even worse, career ending injury. You want to have as many good players as you can on your team.
But that's what I'm saying. Would you rather have three that are startable that will, you know, have some consistency? If so one gets hurt, you still have two left. As putting, and I'm saying this a little bit facetiously,
a little
bit,
yeah.
but it just seems like this is what happens anytime we hype a player up.
I get where you're coming from with the way the injury's been this year, but if I have the star,
I feel like we say this every year, though.
You do, but
yeah,
it's tough to bet against building around the young receivers, especially in dynasty, since they have more long-term insulated value than running backs.
That is fair. Speaking of injuries and wide receivers, Alex, what is your takeaway from week 6?
Cooper Kupp is back. We saw how he played against the Eagles. Now, part of it could have been because the Eagles' secondary is just old as dirt. But then he did it again this week, had almost 150 yards, had his first score, 12 targets. And the thing is, he didn't really take away too much from Puka's volume. Puka still saw 7 targets. He almost had an amazing touchdown, which would have saved the week because that would have been a 10-point play for him right there. I think it was like a 29-yard diving ball that he would have had the touchdown for. That's almost 10 just off of that play alone, which would have put him at another wide receiver 1 week. Those two guys are going to be a set-it-and-forget-it play for the rest of the year, and there's a good chance both of them will be top 15 plays.
Till 3 weeks from now when Cooper Kupp re-injures that hamstring.
And if it doesn't, then you got a league winner.
You did.
All right. So we briefly mentioned it before. We talked about bye weeks. So I will never understand how the NFL comes up with their bye week schedule. So we just had 4 teams on bye, which was okay. We had 2 this week. We had 4 last week. Now for week 7, we have 6 teams. I'm going to go through them in a second. But don't worry. In week 8, we have 0 teams. Week 10, we have like 3 of the 4 best teams that you want to watch. I mean, we're all over the place. We go all the way to week 14 with bye. So stick with us so we can help you with these bye weeks. But let's go through who's on bye this week. We have the Panthers, other than Thielen, nothing really to worry about there. We got the Bengals, so plenty of players there. The Cowboys, plenty of players. Texans, surprisingly, a couple of players. The Jets, you might have a few. And then the Titans, hopefully you don't have any. But it's rough out there because not only do we have all those bye weeks, we go right into the injuries. So I want to give a quick injury update. Normally, I don't go through this many updates. We're going to go through some more questions after I go through updates, but there's just so many to talk about that I just wanted to give a rundown. So we got Josh Allen with his throwing shoulder. Expected to play, but we're not sure. Justin Fields has a dislocated thumb. We don't expect him to play. Trevor Lawrence has a knee sprain. They're hopeful. He's got Thursday Night Football. He's hopeful to play. Jimmy G with a back injury. No idea if he's playing. Then we have CMC. He's got an oblique injury. Hopeful for Monday Night Football. David Montgomery's got ribs. Looks like he's going to be out for a few weeks. Kyren Williams with an ankle injury. We're not sure on his status. And then Deebo Samuel with a shoulder injury, who's also hopeful for Monday Night Football. And that's just a small grouping of impactful players that are playing right now. So there's a lot going on. So my first question will go to Stacey. Do you have any concern more so for these specific wide receivers? We have Stephon Diggs, DJ Moore, Ridley and Kirk, and then Adams all have either quarterbacks are out or potentially out. Any concerns? You still got to start them. How are we feeling?
Okay, so for Diggs, I think you would have to tie Josh Allen down somewhere to keep him off the field. So I don't think that there's any worry about Josh Allen not playing. And even if there was, I think Diggs and Davante Adams are both guys that are quarterback proof. You know, they're going to be out there. They're going to catch the ball. You know, any one of us could throw them a ball and they come down with it. So I don't think that matters too much. DJ Moore, I have a little bit more concern for. I did see that they signed Trace McSorley to the practice squad. Yeah. So, I mean, Tyson Bagent. Am I saying that name right?
I think it's Bagent, possibly. Agent? I've heard a lot of secret agent. So we'll go with that.
I don't love either one of those guys throwing the ball. I think they probably rely more on the, you know, Foreman if they have to there, if that happens. So I would worry a little bit more about DJ Moore. Ridley and Kirk, I'd probably worry about them too. I mean, Thursday is going to come up pretty quick. And, you know, I don't think we're going to know until Thursday whether or not he's going. And CJ Beathard's the backup. So I don't really love that either. So I think if I'm going to worry about anybody, it's going to be DJ Moore and then the Jaguars receivers.
All right.
Yeah, I'm on the same page as Stacey. I definitely agree that the Jaguar receivers are the biggest ones to have concern about. They've had a pretty even like split all year. But Diggs, Adams, and DJ Moore should be force-fed targets. And all of them will see at least 8 to 10 targets. So you got to hope for like 50 and a touchdown just to salvage the weeks.
I'm more concerned about DJ Moore than all of them. Part of where he gets his yards is because Justin Fields is mobile and can move out of the pocket and buy time. And I think when you put in Bagent rather than Justin Fields, who you could say his passing is capped to a certain extent, but he's shown those ceiling games. I think with the, I mean, as a 49ers fan, Beathard sometimes slings. Sometimes.
It's like that one time. But speaking as a 49ers fan, I did want to ask you, this is more specifically for you, CMC, they're hopeful. Who knows? It's an oblique, which is a muscle like on your ab area side that helps anybody. But we got Mason, we got Mitchell. Do you want either of them? Neither of them? Are you just hopeful
stash
that
CMC Jordan comes Mason. Back? I have been the Jordan Mason stan for over a year. You can go and check out the Triple Play Fantasy YouTube channel. Hey, Faith. Elijah Mitchell was great when he was healthy, but he's had durability issues, and it's not even late into the season when injuries pop up for him. Jordan Mason is more explosive. I think he's the one that they trust more in the goal line situation. So if he is a high-end RB2 upside if everybody else on that offense is healthy.
Do you think Kittle will be the biggest beneficiary of that, being the safety blanket and just getting all those 4 or 5 yard targets?
Yeah, I think his yardage will increase. I mean, he had one catch for 1 yard and the 3 catches for 67 yards. All of them were touchdowns and 2 of them were long passes. So I think we'll see the receptions and the yardage slightly go up, but touchdowns are always, you know, hit or miss in this league.
Yeah.
I think Kittle's a big winner if Debo Samuel's out and CMC is either out or slowed down a little bit due to injury. Just because then you only have so many mouths to feed at that point then with Ayuk and Kittle. We're not really talking too much waiver wire because obviously if you're watching this live, you have time to do the waiver wire. Otherwise, if you're watching this tomorrow, the waiver wire is already passed. So, but I feel like for Mason or Mitchell, but especially Mason, I really don't want to bid for him unless you're doing a low bid, unless I'm the CMC manager, because it's Monday Night Football. Otherwise, I probably lost some value having to wait and wait and wait, and because you know they're gonna make us wait all the way till Monday for CMC.
And if he plays, Kyle Shanahan will abuse him like he always does.
Yeah. So just word of caution, if anyone's thinking about that, I probably am only bidding a lot if I'm the CMC manager just for that insurance policy.
What about if you need a win this week? Would you do it?
No, I'd rather go
if you're 1-5 or 2-4 and you have,
you're going
to feel
like Craig Reynolds, Damian Williams, any of those other terrible gross names that have a better chance of touches.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Zach there as well.
Huh. I just have a rule that you can't trust Shanahan. Like,
Belichick,
or Belichick, 100%. But Shanahan, like, if you've got those other guys in there, you don't know who it's going to be. It could very well be Kyle Juszczyk comes and vultures a touchdown.
Tyrone Davis Price.
Yeah, exactly. Something crazy. So, I mean, that's always one of my fantasy rules that you can't trust Shanahan. So
he brings back Tevin Coleman for 1 week.
Is Ray McLeod on the team still?
Yeah,
he's still on the team.
Yeah, there's an end around for you in the red zone, right by the goal line.
Ronnie Bell starts and we go 3-4 wide all day.
Yeah. Literally Bell anybody but who you need. Yep.
Yeah. 100%.
So I think that's enough of pressing injuries. Most likely, let's get some quick start sets out of the way. I'm going to do a blanket statement. If they are not on bye, and they are not injured, you're probably starting them this week. And I hope that you have enough players to make a full roster. So best of luck. Brighter days are ahead, hopefully, in week 8. Hopefully you don't need to win this week, even though we all need to win. And we got a fan club here for Alex. So shout out. <Yeah. laughs> But I want to go to prop bets. We'll go to Alex first. So whether it's favorite bet or whether it's prop bet for week 7, Alex, what's your favorite bet?
I'm going Lions +3, even though it's in Baltimore. We already had our love fest for the Lions a little earlier, but the way they're playing right now and they're given points, I feel like that almost feels like a no-brainer no matter who it's against this week.
All right. I like it. 3 points. And Stacey,
yeah.
What's your favorite bet of the week?
Mine is to take the under on Bryce Harper. Oh, wait, this is not a baseball podcast. I'm so sorry.
Shots fired.
Spoken by a salty Braves fan over here. We should probably take the over on Bryce Harper, honestly, if you're going to do
Absolutely.
God, I feel dirty saying that. My actual favorite prop bet of the week is going to be here's what I'm thinking. So the Saints have only allowed an average of 14.1 fantasy points to quarterbacks so far this season. So whether it's Trevor Lawrence or CJ Beathard, who can maybe sling it once or twice, who knows? Take the under on both those guys. I think that would be my prop bet for the week.
Love it. And Doc, how about you? Bet of the week.
I'm going with the Rams -3 over the Steelers. The line didn't change, even though the Rams have completely new running backs. When you look at some of the Steelers' losses, they lost by 27 to the 49ers, or by 23 to the 49ers, eking out wins over the Browns and Raiders, winning to the Ravens when Lamar had 3 turnovers and 7 drops, and then they got embarrassed 30-6 against the Texans. And the Rams have actually been doing a good job being competitive. Beat the Colts 29-23, lost to the Eagles by 9, but that was a close game. Beat the Cardinals 26-9. They're a really well-coached team, regardless of who they have out there.
No, I like that. You probably get some good money on, good action on that one.
Yeah.
And we'll go to my
compliment from Zach. Zach usually disagrees with me. Love it.
No. No disagreement so far. Not yet. Well, I'm sure we'll get there.
Our trade strategies or fab strategies are repellent of one another.
Yeah, when we start getting those audience questions about who she should keep or who you should trade away or start, that's when we get the complete opposite takes, but that's okay. We're just helping everybody out. One of us will be right, one of us will be wrong, and either way, Triple Play is right, so we'll count it. This is my favorite segment of the show every time. It's Real and Spectacular or Fake. So if you're a Seinfeld fan, you understand the reference. If you're not, that's okay. You'll still understand the premise. So, Stacey, the guys know what I'm doing, but just in case for you, I'm going to give you a statement. Okay. You're going to tell me if it's real and spectacular, aka you agree with the statement, or whether it is fake, aka you disagree with the statement. So we'll go to the first one, guys. Tua is the fantasy MVP this season. Is that real and spectacular, or is it fake?
I'm going to go with real and spectacular. Can I jump in there?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's tied for touchdowns, most yards. I mean, I think he's really benefited from, what was he doing, like jiu-jitsu training in the offseason?
Judo. Yeah.
Judo. Yeah. So he's, you know,
learning how to fall.
Yeah. I think that's really helped him. Like, he's learning how to protect himself. Like, you're not, I don't feel as concerned every time I watch a Dolphins game that he's going to either end up like on a cart headed out of the stadium or like, you know, end his career or something. So, I mean, the offense is phenomenal. So far, I don't have any issue saying that he's a fantasy MVP.
I did see a replay from this past week where he did get thrown backwards, where last season he would have smashed his head. This season he did do a little roll, and so someone commented like, oh, look at the offseason training is in effect. Yeah. So he, I think, is currently on pace for 5,300 passing yards and 40 touchdowns. So we'll see if he keeps it up. But, yeah, I mean, that offense is humming. Tyreek Hill is insane. So, yeah, that's why I had to throw that one out there, see how you guys are feeling. So, Alex, is it real or is it fake?
He's on the short list, but I think it's another Miami Dolphin. And that's Raheem Mostert. For the 6 games, he's had over 30. He's the RB2 on the year. And in perspective to where you were getting him, you were still drafting Tua in the mid rounds of the draft. You're still getting other starters in that round. Tyreek Hill, you're drafting him in the first round. You should be hitting on your first round pick. Mostert, you're taking him in the 16th, the 17th, or even waiver sometimes. So the value with him in that spot versus everyone else is why he's the MVP for me. And Akane's out for at least another 3 weeks.
I'm going to ask you again in a month, and we'll see if Mostert's still playing.
Hey, as long as he gives me 7 or 8 RB1 weeks on the year, he's done his job.
Oh, he's been amazing. He's returned value already. But yeah, that, my concern is his longevity. I feel like we're just playing with house money right now with Mostert.
Oh, we are. And I'm going to keep it on the table. I'm all in on Mostert still.
All right. Love it. Doc, are we real or fake?
I'm going with fake, and I'm going with another Miami Dolphin. I think it is Tyreek Hill. So I will say for Tua, he's had a great year, especially where you drafted him, but only 2 games with over 25 points, no games with more than 30. And Raheem Mostert has been good value. I feel like there was a little bit of hesitancy when Chain was starting too, of like, are we going to start him, especially against the Bills? But Tyreek Hill, his worst game is 10.2 this year. He has 3 games with 30 or more in PPR scoring. Week 1, he had 44.5. These are the types of performances that win you your week. Mm-hmm. And you can say that you should hit on your first round, but first rounders can get hurt like Nick Chubb. They can miss. Like, Bijan has not been worth a first round pick. Travis Kelce has not been worth a first round pick. Justin Jefferson was until he got hurt. But Tyreek Hill is averaging 26.8 PPR points right now. And he's one of the most durable guys in the league, too.
Takeaway from this segment, my Eagles have their hands full this week, and I am not looking forward to that.
Yeah, that secondary is not healthy. It's going to be rough. Up, but...
and the guys who are there are old.
But as a Cowboys fan, you love to see it after we got spanked by the 49ers. I know Doc's a 49ers fan. Last week was rough to watch. At least we finally won one yesterday, had to wear the gear respectfully. On to the next one. Had to put in Eagles question since we do have Alex on the show. AJ Brown is the only Eagles pass catcher you can start for the next few weeks. Real and spectacular or fake?
I think it's fake as well. This past week, Devontae Smith did out target AJ Brown again. Smith had 2 drops, his worst game as an Eagle, including a walk-in 40-yard touchdown. That play alone right there, he would have been close to 15, 20 points. Then on the other hand, if you go to Dallas Goedert, for the last 5 games, he's seen at least 7 targets. So the volume is there for all 3 of those guys. It's just A.J. Brown's the only one who's actually doing anything with that right now. The targets are earned. It's going to stay for all 3 guys. The positive regression has to come sooner or later for Smith and Goedert.
Fair enough.
What about who?
What about who?
Go ahead, Stacey.
What about Julio Jones?
I would have been really excited in like 2014, but
yeah. So what year is this?
I thought that was like a typo or something. I got that alert today. I was like, are they for real?
That was so out of nowhere, too.
Yeah, I don't understand what's going on there, Alex. That's your team. What's going on?
Zacchaeus has been not great as the wide receiver 3. And Quez Watkins is still on IR. So hopefully, if Julio can run 5 yards and stick his hands up and catch it, he's an upgrade from Quez Watkins.
Bring back Greg Ward.
Greg Ward, 2020 weeks 4 through 8, Travis Fulgham. Then the Eagles are all set.
Go get DeSean Jackson.
But to your point, Alex.
It's probably faster.
That's true. To your point, Alex, I think it's fake news. I don't think we need to say Dallas Goedert because of the shallowness of the tight end position. You're starting him. But when you look at the Eagles, they've scored 25 or more in 4 out of the 6 games, 20 or more in 25 or more in 4 out of the 6, 20 or more in 5 out of the 6. They have an explosive offense, top 5 in the league. And it's just opportunity, as Alex mentioned, 11 targets last game. And this could be a high-scoring game as well where they need to pass in order to stay with Miami.
Yeah, can't really disagree.
Only compliment you'll get from me about Philly this day.
Hey, I'll take it. I'll take it. You're still upset over the NFC Championship game, so I get that.
That's all right. You guys lost to the Chiefs just like we did.
That's fair, but we played one more game, so it is what it is.
Congrats. I just throw you the guys pot are short. Here. You guys are going to get hit by the injury bug because of that one additional game.
It happens. Oh,
the irony of that statement. All right, Stacey, are you starting anybody else besides AJ Brown or just keeping it AJ Brown?
Yeah, no. I mean, I think you have to start Devontae Smith too. I mean, what everybody else said, I mean, you know, they are an explosive offense. You've got Dallas Goedert, you know, like exactly like Doc, like you said, the tight end position is gross. And I'm looking at him right now. I mean, he's like ninth overall tight end on Fantasy Pros. And then Devontae Smith is going to get right. It's going to be fine. And if you take a look at their, here we go. Their target share is not all that far from each other. With the exception of Dallas Goedert, he's only got, 36 as opposed to AJ Brown. But the reception is where you see the drop-offs from there. I mean, like you said, AJ Brown isn't the one making the most out of what he's getting, his opportunities. But Devontae Smith will get right. I mean, he's Devontae Smith. Like, he's got way too much talent to not, show up for the rest of the season. I think he'll be fine. You just have to ride it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think honestly, it was a facetious question because, I mean, how many people are on bye and how many injuries do we have? I mean, you have him, you're starting him. I'm just concerned with how the Eagles offense has been this year compared to last year with a new offensive coordinator. They have not been as, I would say, potent as they were last year, except for AJ Brown has just been an absolute monster.
Yeah, it's been an adjustment period with Brian Johnson calling the plays. The offense is much more vanilla than years past. Just hope they can get a little more creative with it.
Yeah. Before we get to our last statement, we do have a question. So hopefully Doc and I can finally get a disagreement here. So this is from GeorgePlay01. Thanks for watching over on YouTube. Ask your questions over there. Best way to get your questions read. So he's 6-0. Should he trade James Cook for Justin Jefferson?
Who are your other running backs?
I mean, honestly, unless you have literally nobody at running back, I don't hate the trade at 6-0 because you could stash Jefferson in your IR spot, play around with your team, and I mean, we're hoping he comes back. Sounds like Kirk is not going to waive his no trade clause, so he's going to stick around. So maybe we see Jefferson at the end for your playoffs, which it sounds like you're expecting it. Let's see, we got CMC, Kenneth Walker, and Jalen Warren. So CMC might be hurt. Yeah, so James Cook might have gotten like relegated to the second string a little bit.
Yeah.
Latavius Murray just started. We're talking about Fournette possibly signing there. I mean,
James Cook is not why he's 6-0. At all. I mean, if somebody's willing to give you straight up James Cook for Justin Jefferson, yeah, all day long.
You guys made it.
I agree.
I was going to say no at first. But I think James Cook has hit his ceiling. Like, if he's not scoring touchdowns at the rate that Buffalo scores him as a team, he's never going to get it. And to be honest, I don't think Jefferson plays until he gets paid, which doesn't sound like it will be this season. But in the chance he does, you won that trade. Like, that is the type of move that will help you win your league, and you're 6-0. So if you're active on the waiver wire, you could potentially replace James Cook.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, if he was saying he has Kenneth Walker's name, if he was saying Walker for Justin Jefferson, no.
That
you need Walker. But with James Cook, I feel like you said, the value's trending down. For me, there's only one winner in your league. Second place, I mean, you might get a little money for second place, but I mean, the championship only goes to one team. So I'd rather at 6-0 risk it for that biscuit and not just play it safe in this situation. And our buddy Jorge over at Fantasy and Frames says hello. So thanks for watching, Jorge. Sorry for barring one of our people for the show, but yeah. Spreading the love. And we'll get to the last real and spectacular or fake statement. Adam Thielen, I believe he is like the wide receiver one or real close to it since week two. He will finish as a top 8 wide receiver this season. Real and spectacular or fake?
I think fake.
That's a tough one.
It is tough. I think he's defied all of us because we thought he was washed up. But he's shown flashes like this. I don't think the game script will always be where the Panthers are trailing from behind and they're throwing it. Like, I mean, I'm not saying they have to win games at some point, but I think clock management they'll get better at.
Yeah.
And if he stays healthy, then I unfortunately had no shares of him this year, but I was fading him kind of hard. I feel like you have to double down on these takes.
And you said top eight. So just in theory, obviously Jefferson won't be able to hit that. Cooper Kupp, I think, is going to hit that at the rate he's going to be playing at this year. A.J. Brown, Jamar Chase,
Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Do we say Keenan Allen?
No, Keenan Allen.
Right now.
Another really good one. That's six.
Do you get CeeDee Lamb up there?
He's been inconsistent. But he can have a few boom weeks.
Low-key Michael Pittman.
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yes. So that's nine just off the top of our head without really going through. So it's tough to argue that he's going to maintain this eight catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown for the rest of the year.
It's just insane that we can even have this conversation, though.
Yeah.
Good for Thielen.
You just wonder.
Yeah. He reminds me of Mostert, how we talked about Mostert before, of like, you're just playing with with house money right now. Enjoy it while you can, and we'll see how long it lasts.
You're licking your chops if you got best ball.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
100%. Yeah, I don't have
that's why you should play underdog. And if you don't have underdog, you can use code TRIPLE. Let me pull that up here real quick. A little brand awareness, if I have it anywhere. Oh,
there we go.
Boom. There you go. Use code TRIPLE. Match your deposit up to $100. So even though it's not best ball season anymore, though, they have had a few games, you can still play some over-unders, some various games. And basketball season is right around the corner, so you can still get in that action. Hockey just started, so go ahead. Get some free money using our code TRIPLE and then have some fun with underdog and play them best ball where Mostert and Thielen could be making you tons of money if you would have picked them up. So we will move on to, we'll call it probably my second favorite just because it's a fun word to say, but segment. But who are you yeeting off your roster? So you want nothing to do with this player anymore. They don't even get to ride your bench. You don't want them to taint your roster anymore. They need to go. You are yeeting them off the team. Stacey, who's getting yeeted?
I host our dynasty show on Fantasy Frames, so I feel bad, because this is a rookie that I'm I want off my roster immediately. I cannot stand to have Quentin Johnston on my roster for one more minute. And maybe I'm overreacting, maybe it's a little too early, but I just can't do it. Honestly, wasn't the biggest fan of his coming out of college, but I took a gamble on him in a few places, just because of that landing spot was so perfect, right? They have a tendency to get hurt over there. And I almost said San Diego with the Chargers. And, Williams goes down. Palmer comes into last night's game, with an injury designation. They pulled somebody up off the practice squad and you're like, okay, maybe this is his time to shine, finally get in there. And he, so far on the season, has had 12 targets for 6 receptions and 44 yards. He's played all 5 games so far. They had a bye week, remember that. Right now, he is being outscored in fantasy points by people like Robbie Chosen, little Jordan Humphrey, Noah Brown. That's not names that you really want to be associated with if you are, a first-round draft pick. And here we are, here we sit. So at this point, and one thing else that I had written down is even with Williams out, he's still the fifth option in targets on his team. Okay. That is not good at all.
Did Justin Herbert have more catches than him last night?
I think so. Right. That was,
that's pretty true.
Yes. Yeah. His 10.4 fantasy points in a full PPR this season. And we're going into week 7. I just can't anymore. I just can't do it. Sorry.
And not only, like you said, he's buried on the depth chart. This is coming off of the bye week too. Mm-hmm. And he puts up a dud. You would think, okay, they have 2 weeks for him for this game. Let's see how it's going and see what they can do. Mm-hmm. And the answer was nothing.
Yeah.
All right, Alex, but who are you eating?
TCU receiver drafted at 21 overall. Brings me a little PTSD with Jalen Reagor.
I was
going
to bring up Jalen Reagor, but
it's
I didn't want to be mean.
It's trending to be that same type of thing with Jordan Addison going the pick before.
Now, I will say, though, from a dynasty perspective, give Quinn Johnson a chance. We've been spoiled for way too many years of these wide receivers going off the rookie year. I mean, look at Nico Collins. Looks great. His third year. So, we talked about dynasty briefly. Don't worry about dynasty. We're all good there. But, yes, redraft standpoint, he can be yeeted. Stacy, I agree. Alex, who are you yeeting off your roster?
I'm going Michael Thomas. I wouldn't say high expectations for him coming into the year, but I had expectations for him being healthy. Hopefully, I'm like, okay, he can see six to eight targets a game with Derek Carr throwing the ball, and hopefully he can be a solid flex play. He's wide receiver 46 on the year. He's taken up a spot on your bench. It's not worth it at this point. Just cut your losses and be like me and just let it go.
Fair enough. So depressing. He used to be so good. So good. Good times.
Duh. Imagine if you traded him at peak fantasy value.
3 years ago?
Right after that career year, he's never even been close to remotely the same receiver.
Well, he hasn't been healthy since then either.
It's Sean Payton's fault. Never forget. A meaningless blocking play when beating the Bucks week one.
There's a lot of Sean Payton's fault.
Yeah. Never forget. I'm eating Darnell Mooney off my roster. Someone with 1,000 yards that, you know, you could have looked at it that DJ Moore was going to take away targets or that finally he wouldn't be double covered. But he has no catches in 2 out of the 5 games. His yardage, 48, 51, 53. He does have a touchdown, but he's more of a DFS play. Or if you were in a super deep league like a Guillotine, then I would do that. But in PPR too, not even getting that as many receptions. 10 catches, 19 targets on the year. So only catching slightly over 50% of them. Cutting him.
Yeah, any receiver not DJ Moore on the Bears shouldn't be rostered at this point. I completely agree with you there.
He's not going to the Mooney. Fair enough.
Ha! Zach, you're good with these dad jokes, man.
Hey, father of three. I've had training for years, and I can't let Dave take my spot. Codename Davey cannot take my spot now that he is a dad. He will love that I am calling him Davey. It's his favorite. Go ahead and tweet at him. He is on fire with his pick, so definitely tail him for his bets. Thank him for making you money, and then call him Davey. He will love it, I promise. So with our last segment of the day, this is by far, I think, the best one. I'm actually going to kick it to Stacy real quick for this one. She did not know this was coming because I expect her to say a certain player's name, and if she doesn't, I'll be disappointed. It's the only reason I'm kicking it to her for the first one. Then we'll get to Doc. But random tight end touchdown of the week. Stacy, who's getting...
I knew you wanted me to say Darnell Washington, but I think Pratt
Farr. You're damn right.
Yeah, I love Darnell Washington. I think it's only a matter of time. I was really hoping that while Freiermuth was out, that it would be Washington's time to shine in the end zone. You know, because that's where they're going to use him. I mean, he's just a huge, giant monster target that, like, nobody's going to be able to, like,
massive
block.
Hands.
He's got massive 11-inch hands. It's the size of my notebook, okay? That's, think of a piece of paper, right? 11x8? Yeah, that's the dude's hand. Anyway, I would really love Darnell Washington to get one. He's a random tight end. You know what? Let's go with him, even though Patty Fries is making a comeback supposedly this week.
Perfect. That's who I wanted you to say, Stacey. I was teeing you up for it. I appreciate it. Shout out to Fantasy and Frames for that one. Yeah. And Doc, who is the official random tight end touchdown of the week that's never hit in like 3 years? This
it's
is the week.
Only one of these weeks. It's a good thing I don't put money on this every week. Is Michael Meyer random enough or no? Because
he is not random enough.
Random. Okay.
Not random enough.
All right, I'm feeling a Trey McBride touchdown this week.
He is random enough. That is
fine. He is 3 out of 6 games, 3 or more targets, 5 for 62 or 4 for 62 last game, which is his best of the season. Arizona figures to be trailing game script wise. Trey McBride, I know I say this every week, but I actually feel really good about this one.
I like it.
I'm going to throw one in there too.
All right,
if Lane Johnson has to miss this week or isn't even 100%, Eagles may line up some more 2 tight end sets. That means Jack Stoll may be on the field.
All right.
And if that's the case, 4th and goal, instead of the tush push, line up with 2 tight ends, Stoll sneaks out, little Tim Tebow jump pass to Jack Stoll for the score.
Yeah, no, they'll just tush push it in. But that's okay. I love the call. And I normally don't give one. But since we're all giving one, I'm feeling it. We're going to do a throwback. don't even know if he's still playing right now because I've not looked it up because he's so random out there right now. But Jimmy Graham, back with the Saints, random touchdown this week. Don't even know if he's getting snaps. Move over Taysom Hill.
He didn't have a target last week, but had one the week before. He has one catch for 8 yards and one touchdown on two targets this year. So that could be random enough.
So he's going to get another touchdown.
So there you go.
Better than Quentin Johnson as well.
Yeah.
Stacey, the things I would do for a Josiah DeGuara touchdown.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. That's Josiah DeGuara. Love it.
One of these weeks, we just need to just talk all random tight ends.
Yes.
Jordan appreciates it.
He has seven catches on the year. It could happen.
It could absolutely happen.
Jordan, we appreciate you watching. Obviously, you're a fan of Alex. We have never hit on any of these tight ends before, so do not start.
Brad was at like a 33% rate last year.
Brad's not on the show today, though. You can't listen to us. We've never hit.
I know, but I'm just touting someone in TPF that has a good record with this.
Someone can make it happen. We don't. So do not start any of these guys. These are just fun names that if we get a random touchdown, we're all going to cheer for ourselves. Our group chats will light up with random text messages. One of us scored. So this is just all in fun. Do not actually follow this for any real fantasy advice. Unless you're
put a lot of money on anytime touchdown on all of these picks.
Oh, yeah.
Do a parlay with all of them.
We're just trying to make you rich.
Yeah. I mean, a dollar could win you like 10 grand on this parlay.
Oh, totally. I pulled up all the tight ends who have touchdowns so far. There are so many names on this list, and I have no idea who half of them are.
Like the segment works. We just don't pick the right ones.
But we will. Or we're limiting the field of who not to pick.
Yeah.
You can also do the opposite. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, with that, we are going to call it a show. It's been a lot of fun. We appreciate you coming on, Stacey, again. You're now a repeat guest, and we appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. Can you let everyone know where they can find all your great work?
Yeah, thank you guys for having me again. This has been an absolute blast. I am on Twitter at Stacey_Perez83. You can find me on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock on Fantasy and Frames Dynasty 365 show. You find all my content there at Fantasy and Frames as well. And thanks again for having me. This was so much fun. You guys are awesome.
We appreciate it. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Doc. Good luck, everyone out there, for your teams. It's a rough week. Hang in there. Stick with us. We'll help you win some money. Hopefully win your weeks. Make sure you like, subscribe, all that fun stuff. You know what to do. We appreciate you all, and we'll see you next week.